Welcome to Federal Insights for March, empowering the federal workforce to make better, faster decisions that improve the effectiveness of government. Sponsored by Click.
Army brass have been saying they want to have a more data-driven Army. For a look into some of the Army's data initiatives, I spoke with the chief of the Strategic Operations Enterprise in the Army Management Office, Lori Mongold. Set the scene for us. The Army at the upper levels, the highest levels, has said, different leaders have said, that the Army wants to be a more data-driven organization in all ways, including warfare and in daily operations and decision-making, logistics. So tell us what that means and how it gets down to the level of your office.
Yes, so it only makes sense, right? So like in our everyday life, we use data in a million different ways to make decisions. When we're planning vacations, when we're sending our kids to school, when we look for research for jobs, we're using data. So it only makes sense that the Army would want to concentrate on becoming dominant in the data field, meaning the more information that you have, the more available that information is, and the veracity within that data, the more ability you have to make risk-informed decisions. And an Army is structured to make life and death decisions. So if we can have data available, we understand that data and we use that data in a way, we become data dominant. And that means we have leverage over our adversary, and we and our senior leaders can make risk-informed decisions.
Sure. So data is a pretty big word, and the Army is a pretty big enterprise. And so data is coming in from all over the place. Tell us the strategy for just managing the raw data itself, so that then down the line it can be made actionable in all these different domains.
Yeah, so there's obviously the technical side of wrangling data, making it accessible, using principles that are aligned and what we call VADIS, making it visible, accessible, understandable, trusted, interoperable, and secure. There's those aspects of the data. But then there's also this data literate access, the ability to take people that understand what does the data mean independent as data elements, and then what does it mean when you combine them into different data objects to make sure that we're telling the right story. So the Army is responsible for making sure we have the right people with the right things at the right time for the right mission. And in order to do that, we've got to combine a bunch of data elements given different variables like time, resourcing, and ensure that we're able to do that.
With respect to the data then, does all of the data generated by all of the different components and operational details get gathered into one single place at this point, or do you leave it federated and it's just a matter of accessing by your office?
So we actually have a hybrid approach. Some of our data is wrangled and curated and federated in one location to make it easier to be accessible. And we concentrate on domains. So for example, my office is responsible for the deploy to redeploy and retrograde of material end-to-end business process. And within that end-to-end business process, we're responsible for receiving strategic directive and guidance, interpreting it, understanding it, turning that into the force that we need to fight the missions that the strategic directive and guidance said we need to be prepared for, then preparing that force. So making sure that it's ready. Do we have the right type of structure? Are those the billets, the job skills that we have available, the ones that we're going to need today and in the future? Is the equipment that we have, the equipment that we're going to fight with? And then we make sure that we're ready to deploy and employ that data. In some cases, that data is resident within data lakes. In some cases, that data is resident on an enterprise data platform. And in other cases, you're pinging other people's repositories for data, bringing the data in, combining it to make sure that the story is what you need it to be.
In other words, that's what you mean by the hybrid approach, that the data doesn't necessarily have to be in one giant data lake. Nor does it necessarily have to stay where it is in all cases from the originating point, but you kind of decide what's the best architecture depending on the situation.
Yeah, it just needs to be visible and accessible and relevant. Time is a critical factor here. Data means different things depending on time. A unit in peacetime, what we call an army at rest, has significant different data elements as it prepares for its wartime mission than a set of data elements for when it's in motion, for when we're actually deploying it. So it's understanding the differences and what the data elements mean with that time variant.
I want to explore just briefly the issue of data governance, because when you have that transparent information about where data is and who has it, and then grant access across perhaps domains, across battalions, across commands, whatever the organization might be, people tend to hug data. But in this new data-centric era, your data might be someone else's data for functional purposes. So talk about the governance setup and that idea of the culture of saying, yeah, sure, use my data if it'll help your mission.
Yeah, so the Army has went at great lengths to tackle that governance issue. Really not a governance issue, a cultural issue, right? Like data is power. And so people like to hold on to their data because they believe they're the subject matter experts. And there's no malicious intent. We call those silos of excellence, where everybody is sort of rowing and they understand the lane that they're working in. And so they like to hold on to that data, not recognizing that the power in the data connected is something that Army senior leaders need. So what the Army has done is, first, the Army established a chief data officer. So Dr. David Markowitz is the chief data officer for the Army. And then within the governance structure, they've established several forums. There's an Army analytics board and an Army data board. And then to drill that down, the Army then assigned what's known as mission area data officers. So the mission area data officer concentrates on a major mission area, like the business mission area, the warfighter mission area, the defense intelligence mission area, and then the enterprise mission area. Then below the MADO, what is assigned next are what's known as data stewards. And then those data stewards concentrate on specific domains. So for example, I'm the data steward for the training and readiness domain of the business mission area. And then there's a data steward for the logistics domain, and then the human resource domain. And then under the data steward are folks that are functional data managers. So those SMEs, the folks that probably are responsible for transacting and creating that data within various systems or processes that exist in their day-to-day task. And then together, those folks come together to make up a governance of taking a SME that understands the data, combining it to a data steward that starts to look horizontally across different areas of data, up to a MADO that looks within a mission area, and then the chief data officer that looks across the Army.
That deeply embeds the culture of data then pretty widely.
It does. And it's one of the steps. So a couple other things that the Army has done is now within all of the civilian position descriptions. So if we want to go out and hire new civilians, regardless of the skill set. So you could take a contract acquisition person. You could take a force manager. You could take a financial management or resource management capability. Inside of their position description for hiring purposes, we embed comments about data and needing to understand it and needing to become literate about the data that you're working with. And we've taken a more concentrated effort to focus people on the data and understanding it and the value of it and the importance of when they're transacting it, it's going to be used for a purpose, which in many cases is for Army senior leaders to become data dominant.
Lori Mongold is Chief of Strategic Operations Enterprise in the Army Management Office. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
The current approach federal agencies use to deliver data to the systems and people that rely on it are resulting in missed opportunities and milestones, higher costs, and failed projects. At the same time, new statutes and policies require federal agencies to use data in all decision-making about programs, operations, and budgets. Agencies must accelerate the delivery of data and establish programs that enable a more data-literate workforce, effectively reducing the time and cost associated with the execution of their missions. Click can help. QLIK.com/public sector.
Welcome back to our interview with Lori Mongold, Chief of the Strategic Operations Enterprise in the Army Management Office. Our topic is data, data literacy, and data operations. And with having this whole apparatus around the data stewards and the data functional managers all under the operation, I guess, and direction of the chief data officer, what about getting that data literacy among people that deal with data into those decision makers you mentioned that actually carry out the Army's mission? There has to be some sort of a transference there. And how does that happen?
There has to be, yeah. And that's exactly what the role of that functional data manager is to go out and work with their respective stakeholders within their area of expertise and start small, right? Like, be curious about the data. Why does it exist? What does it mean? How can I use it? I always refer back to Simon Sinek in this particular case, where he says, start with why. Like, why am I doing the task that I have? How does it fit into the larger mission? How does that mission fit into strategic guidance? And it's this constant reshaping the culture to always question, I'm doing this because it affects this and this affects this, and it gets at our ability as an Army to deploy and employ our forces when we need them.
Can you give us an example of some of the early work that might have resulted in a better mission understanding or focus thanks to some of this back-end data work?
Yeah, absolutely. So sometimes in order to have culture change, you can start with conversations with stakeholders, right? You can get stakeholder buy-in, but in some cases that doesn't always work. So what the Army did under General Milley was create an enterprise data repository called Vantage, where from top down, the Army was directed to send data from all of the systems that reside within the business mission area and dump it into one spot. And the reason that we did that was to start looking at the data, start talking about the data, and start to get an understanding of how the health of our data, right? Like, is our data good enough to make decisions? Are we creating and transacting it in a timely manner? And until you see the whole picture, sometimes you don't have the ability to do that. And so that was General Milley's vision when Vantage was thought of. And that was a really good start at getting people to talk about data. If you get it in front of senior leaders, it becomes commander's emphasis. People start looking at that data, questioning that data, and then staff members are going back and chasing data. And so it starts to instill discipline in the process. And then with discipline comes the increased veracity of the data. And so that was a really good start that we can continue to build upon.
And I imagine that when you start to have this kind of closed-loop feedback in the value of data, it probably produces more questions that can reasonably be answered by the data. And so the data literacy starts transforming into desire for action on the data. Fair way to put it?
Yeah, very fair way to put it. We're sort of been an Army that likes to operate on PowerPoint slides. And so just taking something like a strategic readiness update, and instead of coming into a meeting with 160 slides in anticipation of what an Army senior leader might ask, doing something like putting it up on the screen, right? And using Click, for example, as a visualization and an analytical capability to drill into the data on a screen when the senior leader asks a question. So inside of the G3, one of the things that we did was we took a platform called the Enterprise Management Decision Support Tool, and we re-engineered it to be a G3 analytical tool focused on force structure data, readiness data, mobilization, and deployment data. And then on the front end, we put Click, Q-L-I-K, just in case you need to know, understand the spelling. We took that, and what was so great about that is I was able to go in front of the G3 of the Army, and he was able to very easily open up this system and drill down on data and start answering questions himself. And while the G3 of the Army is not going to do that every day, it proved a point that if the G3 of the Army has the ability to go in and do this, then our everyday users, our everyday functional folks that create the data, the user access, the user ability is there, and they can start to find value in what they do and how that data is being used by senior leaders. And then doing it live, right? Like I can drill into data from the computer in real time and answer a question and then jump back out and continue my presentation. That's something you can't do in PowerPoint slides.
In some ways, it takes you back to the era of when generals were given Minesweepers so they could learn to use a mouse, and then eventually they catch up to everyone else in the world.
Yeah, it's a little crazy. We've taken a really hard look at business processes too. Everybody understands what an army is supposed to do. But if you've not changed your business processes that enable the army to do its business, but the mission and the operational environment have changed significant, but our business processes are 30 years old. Taking a hard look at not only the core business process, which is that deploy to redeploy end-to-end business process, but the support processes like hire to retire, your procure for acquisition purposes, your procure to stock for equipment. All of those end-to-end business processes, going through business process reengineering, relooking them, updating them, streamlining them, integrating them, removing any redundancy, eliminating friction points. Those are all things that we've been doing in the Army for quite some time as we move toward enterprise business system converged solution that allows the business side of the house to enable the warfight side.
Lori Mongold, Chief of the Strategic Operations Enterprise in the Army Management Office. We'll be back with the third and final segment of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
The current approach federal agencies use to deliver data to the systems and people that rely on it are resulting in missed opportunities and milestones, higher costs, and failed projects. At the same time, new statutes and policies require federal agencies to use data in all decision-making about programs, operations, and budgets. Agencies must accelerate the delivery of data and establish programs that enable a more data-literate workforce, effectively reducing the time and cost associated with the execution of their missions. Click can help. QLIK.com/public sector.
Welcome back to our third and final segment of our interview with Lori Mongold, Chief of the Strategic Operations Enterprise in the Army Management Office. We've been discussing data, data literacy, and data operations. And you mentioned Qlik. That is an analytical environment that helps visualization of data. Talk more about the analytics, the tool sets, and how you manage those with respect to the varied types of data sets that you have and the need to normalize the data and make it so that it can all play together. Because very often the data from a weapon system platform, for example, is from a different universe than the data thrown off by a business system that is financial in nature.
Yeah, so that's a good point. And one of the things that my office has been concentrating on is that gap, right? Bridging the gap between the authoritative data that gets created within the business mission area and the data that gets created and needs to be used within the warfighter mission area. So some of the ways that we've been trying to get after that is the Vice Chairman Joint Chief of Staff directed a common data standard. It's called Global Force Management Data Initiative. In English, what that means is giving your data a relationship. So historically for force structure, we've had all of our people lumped together and all of our equipment lumped together, but we've never been able to see what the relationship of people to equipment are, for example. What GFMDI allows you to do, not only within the Army, but all of the services, as well as our allied partners and the Joint Staff and OSD, is take that data and visualize it with the relationship. So now if you get a mission requirement of a dog team, for example, immediately you can see that a dog team consists of three people. Those three people have weapons. Those weapons have sights. They need a vehicle. That vehicle has a radio. And now it's a packaged capability that you can cost out. You can ensure that it's manned appropriately. You can ensure that it's equipped appropriately. And then you can calculate a readiness factor against that capability as opposed to independently doing it, which means something completely different when you bring it together to tell that story. And so on our analytical capability, we've taken the reformatted the data to be GFMDI compliant, so give it that relationship. And then we've done things like curate the data in advance And we've offered up microservices and APIs so that data sets get tailored to the customer for their intended purpose in near real time, which is something that we haven't been able to do in the Army for a while. And then ensuring that those systems that need to receive that type of data, force structure is probably your most important data set that gets transmitted from the business mission area to the warfighter mission area, because it shows you the demand and the capability and what's needed to perform whatever mission you're going after, whether that be a request for forces in support of the combatant commander, or whether that be an Army service requirement or an emerging requirement like COVID, hurricanes in Florida, eradicating Ebola in Africa. You know, there's just these all these different types of missions that come into Army at different points in time that you may or may not have been prepared for. And so taking that data, curating it, and making it available, and then ensuring that the systems in the warfighting mission area that need to receive that data are structured and engineered in a way that they can receive that data and then transmit that data for interoperability and effective communication.
And where do you see this all looking like in, say, 2 to 5 years?
Yeah, so in 2 to 5 years, what I envision is with the stand-up of the Army Futures Command, which is the 4-star command that was stationed in Austin, Texas, focused on the Army of 2028 and beyond, mostly on the material aspects of that Army. And then DAMO Strategic Operations focused on an enterprise cloud and data strategy and the warfighter mission area. I see the gap closing between our ability to have a seamless data exchange and a seamless approach to the Army's ability to make more sound risk-informed decisions and defeat our adversary in a domain where we probably have lacked our ability to do that. We laugh sometimes about the business area being in the industrial age and slowly creeping into the information age, and we want to hurriedly get to the cognitive era, right? And so the stand-up of the Futures Command, the stand-up of the Strategic Operations Directorate within the G3 gives us that ability to quickly move to the cognitive era where our adversaries are moving toward.
Lori Mongold, Chief of the Strategic Operations Enterprise in the Army Management Office. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for March, sponsored by Click on Federal News Network.
The current approach federal agencies use to deliver data to the systems and people that rely on it are resulting in missed opportunities and milestones, higher costs, and failed projects. At the same time, new statutes and policies require federal agencies to use data in all decision-making about programs, operations, and budgets. Agencies must accelerate the delivery of data and establish programs that enable a more data-literate workforce, effectively reducing the time and cost associated with the execution of their missions. Click can help. QLIK.com/public sector.
When we need help, we turn to government. When government needs help, they turn to Federal News Network. Federal News Network, helping feds meet their mission.
Register today for Federal News Network's DoD Cloud Exchange, March 24th through 26th. In interviews with leaders from the Army, Navy, Air Force, and the Defense Information Systems Agency, it's clear the defense IT enterprise is quickly progressing with the modernization and digital transformation warfighters are depending on in the air, on the land, on the sea, in space, and in cyberspace. Go to federalnewsnetwork.com and register for the DoD Cloud Exchange, presented by GDIT.